How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends. This is Susie. Just to let you know, here's part two of our interview with Helen George. Enjoy! You know when you've had breaks? Is that because you did The King and I, didn't you?
Yes.
Because Tom and I love musical theatre as well.
Big musical theatre fans.
What were you listening Sondheim. On the way in?
Sondheim.
I know that you love a bit of Sondheim.
Thank you for knowing that. I was listening to Sunday in the Park with George on the way in, actually.
Were you?
Yes. He's always listening.
We do not belong together.
He's always listening to Sunday in the Park with George. Or Being Alive?
Being alive, quite like, feel like it got a bit overplayed at gay weddings and I went off it.
Did it?
All the gays loved it.
Oh,
and there's someone to sit in my chair. All right, we get it.
Don't get him started on I Am What I Am. Can't bear it.
Oh. Gary Wilmot singing I Am What I Am. It's very good.
Oh, I'd like to hear that, actually.
The last time
I saw Gary Wilmot on stage, he was doing the Palladium Panto. But now I think he hasn't done that for a while.
I saw Nigel Havers do that this Christmas.
With
Jane McDonald playing... Who was Robin Hood? Julian Clary.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Jane McDonald was Maid Marian.
Classic
it
casting.
Was amazing. I mean
she works for her money.
She works hard. Do you ever watch Cruising with Jane McDonald?
I haven't.
Well,
so you simply must.
On a Saturday morning.
Saturday morning?
After Saturday
Prime
Kitchen's
time.
Finished, yep. Pop on Channel 5 and you won't be disappointed.
What does she do on it?
She just goes on a cruise.
Does she do a few numbers?
No, only at the end, Suze.
She
does, well, this one I was watching the other day, she was on a sort of narrowboat, you know, like in Rosie and Jim.
Oh.
And she was just sort of poodling along the Thames, but up near Windsor. And she went to places like Maidenhead for the day.
Oh, God,
That's
budget cuts.
That's an Uber boat.
Yeah, basically was. And she went into a boutique and bought a lovely blouse.
That's the thing, television's dying. No one's got the budget.
Well... I tell you, people are watching Jane McDonald. And then
you are.
When I say people, I mean me and
your mum
and Alfie. Watch it. You can spend a whole Saturday, you know, following Jane McDonald around a deck.
Talented lady.
Very talented. Very talented. Mm-hmm. But of course, you are a very talented person, Helen.
Oh.
As we say, a musical theatre star. Also, I believe, once a backing singer to Sir Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us. If you
Tom's
don't mind.
Very.
The only person I've ever wanted to meet. The only reason for being in show business was to meet Elton John.
Have you ever been invited to his big
No, nothing.
No, me
nothing.
Neither.
So oh, really?
One day we will.
Let's go.
One day. Can
maybe
you imagine?
Maybe the garden party at Buckingham Palace was a warm-up.
Yeah, I mean, Alfie will be ironing for days. The frills.
But was it fun to be his backing
singer?
Yeah,
it was so much fun. So I went to the Royal Academy of Music, which is where he studied back in the day. And the year that I was graduating, he took some of the singers and some of the musicians to go on tour with him.
Wow.
And so we sang backing.
Did you meet him?
Yeah.
It's not, because you know, sometimes you hear about, have you seen that documentary?
Oh, 10 Feet from Stardom.
5 Feet from Stardom?
5 Feet, sorry.
Have you seen it?
All the Feet from Stardom.
It's a documentary, 5 Feet from Stardom. It's about backing singers.
Oh,
it's
cool.
It's about being on the road as a backing singer.
Oh, nice.
And so there's like Sting's back. It's really fascinating.
Mm.
But you do get the vibe that some people know they're
don't
backing singers.
To, yeah,
and
exactly.
some people don't. Mm-hmm. That's why I asked.
No, Elton was very inclusive. He always made an effort. One of my friends, Adam, really wanted to play his piano, his Steinway, because it was like the special Steinway or something. And Elton like organised it so that it could be delivered early to the stadium so Adam could go and play it.
No.
He was really amazing, really kind. And he'd always come for a drink at the end of the night in the kind of crew bar. David would be there with the dogs. And we'd all have a chat. It was really fun.
Lovely.
And James Newton Howard, who was a composer, who I recently found... Did you listen to the Barbara Streisand audiobook? Or the book that she wrote?
Oh, that lasts like 3 days.
It was 47 hours.
Yeah.
It was the best 47 hours of my life. I
like a jacket potato sometimes. I like it with cream cheese.
She'd just go off piece sometimes and just start chatting for an hour. I loved that book. But she went out with James Newton Howard.
Really?
Who was a composer who wrote like big score stuff.
Oh.
Like movie stuff.
Sure, sure.
And he was married to one of the Arquette sisters. And when, because we were like 19, and he was this older, very aloof, very sexy composer. So we'd all be there going, Saturday, Saturday, Saturday. I'm just trying to flirt with James Newton Howard.
Oh, did he come to the crew bar afterwards?
I think he avoided it because he was terrified of us.
Well, that's wonderful, isn't it?
How many dates did you do?
We did Wembley. We did the Albert Hall. And then we did, I think we did the NEC in Liverpool and Manchester. I feel like there was a few
big.
Yeah.
At 19, you did that. Mm. That must have been thrilling.
No, I was so arrogant because you're 19. So you don't, I was like, whom, Elton, whom?
No, of course, I'm here.
Of course.
Where else would I be?
I'm only being paid how much? What? And then now I'm like, it was Elton John. Yeah. He's a tiny dancer.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it funny, actually, when you're 19, how differently you view everything?
Oh, you don't care, you don't care. I mean, you're just like, whatever.
Yeah. I remember we've talked about before about like kind of just being so wide-eyed, but also so kind of, I don't know, assuming that, yeah, of course you go to London and of course everything's fabulous and of course you go into that.
There's no
club,
fear.
No fear about anything.
Just walk into anywhere.
Well, I would never, if I hadn't done stand-up, I wouldn't try it now.
That's exactly, I mean, it's mad.
It's insane that at 24, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this with my life.
I think people would like it if I just stood up and talked about myself. They'd find that delightful.
Obviously.
And then they'd laugh. I mean,
you should read your diary entries.
Well, after a long period of...
But, everyone used to read your diary entries.
Oh yes, I did sometimes do that. I mean, again, a little bit self-indulgent, one might argue.
Oh, I think it was. But, great.
I think you should do another podcast about your diary entries.
Just diaries from back in the day. Yeah. Well, I suppose as a precocious teenager in suburban Bromley, I mean, I'm sure I had some very.
I can't believe people aren't wearing tailcoats.
I can't believe no one's laying the table properly. I mean, that literally was what I was talking
Where
about.
Where have the irons gone? Where...
Yes, because of course you grew up in the West Midlands.
I did, it was
in Birmingham.
Yeah, in Birmingham.
Oh, mm-hmm. And you, I understand from research, you...
is this Wikipedia?
Yes.
Because Wikipedia is completely wrong. So well, some
It did say you were in the army for a long time.
So my friends have all added things to it.
Oh, that's very good.
So one of my friends, Vicky Stone, who's a comedian.
Oh, yes, she's a sister.
Yeah. So she wrote on it that I was a calf model. Like, lower calf model, you know, at one point. So there's like this eclectic career that I've had. My parents aren't called what my parents are called on Wikipedia, which is quite nice. My middle name isn't the same. I didn't go to Winchester College or wherever. Someone's written that. But it's quite nice because no one actually knows the truth.
Yes. Truth skewing. Yes.
Listeners to this podcast went through a phase of changing our
That's right. It must be a fun thing for them to
do. And they said, there was a long period where it said that we, for the majority of the 80s, we were both trapped inside the dolls of Rosie and Jim. It was really
I used to love Rosie and Jim. Yeah. Where is the Sac Magique?
Yes.
Sac Magique.
On the
I
old
say
rag
that
doll.
Quite a lot.
Yes. That's such happy to innocent
Sometimes
times.
Sometimes in the bedroom.
Oh,
very good.
For you. Good for
good
you,
for you.
I say. Good for you. We were just talking as well before we came on. I would say on air. We're not really on air,
we're not
are we?
On
just
air,
before
Tom.
We press play and record at the same time. About the young people in our lives. And I am very blessed to have a niece. And she's been very into Bluey.
Yeah.
And we were saying about the fun of taking young people to see their heroes.
Well, yes, of course, because I went to see Bluey. Mm. And that's where I saw Helen.
And that's where you guys met.
Yeah.
Bluey brought us together.
Wife turned to me and said, don't freak out. I was like, oh my God, what?
She
was like, Helen George is in front of us. And called a midwife. And I was like, ah!
And then I saw you and I was like,
yeah, you were very, charming. And
I basically like jumped on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I was honestly.
Oh, but what are those shows like? Because for the kids... They
lose their goddamn
Bluey
yeah, it's crack.
On they, it, right? It must be like things like Frozen. I know will like
oh,
people like yeah. I don't know if it's still the case, but kids at one point were just fixated on
there'll be a Frozen face. Did your girls like Frozen?
For a minute,
right?
Okay. But now my eldest is a tomboy, and we're you know all princess stuff is banned from the house.
Okay,
it's not Arsenal football, whatever.
Oh,
she doesn't
want
to know, which I kind of love.
Yeah, that's great.
But I use these opportunities. I don't know if you do the same. just to have a sleep.
Oh, yeah, I bet that's nice for that.
I just close my eyes, just to block it all out. Maybe meditate.
But the kids, when they see someone like Bluey, who, again, they're just obsessed with, what do they do? Do they start screaming? Or
do you mean like an actor dressed in the Bluey suit as well? Because that happens sometimes, like in the foyer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that must be photos. So much for them.
It's quite overwhelming, I think. It's quite overwhelming. Like, when we went to see Frozen, I might have told the story already on the podcast, but
hey,
guys,
look,
you know,
we don't worry about that here.
We don't worry about that here. When we saw the stage show of Frozen, it was incredible. And then during the interval, my daughter said, "Oh, what do you think they're doing now?" And I said, "I don't know. They're probably having a little break." And then she said, "You probably need a sandwich after that."
So good.
Keep your strength up. But then
you've got to, Elsa. Elsa's got to have a sandwich.
I would have thought so. That's some big numbers.
Before King and I used to have a Five Guys every night.
Did you? Every night?
Yeah, because I was at the Dominion and it was next door to Five Guys. And I'd like drop the kids up, like get the kids from school, and then I'd be like, "God, I haven't had dinner." And then I'd have a Five Guys and then put a corset on and go, "Oh my God, I hate my life. What have I done?"
I don't think I'd hate that life. That sounds like a great life.
How did that work? You would pick the girls up? Because I wonder about this, because I'm obsessed with music theatre. And then your call time, I suppose, would be about 6.
Yeah.
Would it? So you're just about, that must be a mad juggle.
Yeah, it is. And because I co-parent as well. So then I kind of had a nanny, and then Saturdays are a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, the Dominion, you can't do Sunday shows because the church.
Oh, there's a church comes in.
There's a church that comes in on a Sunday.
Oh, great.
Yes,
praise
thank
be.
You, Jesus.
Yes.
And then Saturday is a bit of a nightmare because, you know, you've got the kids on a Saturday.
Yeah,
so my nanny used to bring them into town. They'd go for a Chinese and then come and say hi and then go home.
Well, that's a nice Saturday for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would like that Saturday.
I would enjoy that. Go and see
a Chinese.
See backstage of the King and I.
Yeah, and they would, and they come and do warm up, which was really sweet. And my dog would come as well, and sometimes he'd like join in with warm up.
Oh my goodness,
it's a family affair.
But that's an intense show to do, the King and I. Did you enjoy
on it? She doesn't stop, does she?
She doesn't shut up.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying that. But what I mean is, it's not like one of those shows where, like, I've got friends that are in Les Mis that can...
Oh, yeah, you can doss a bit in that.
You know, they can go and play cards for a couple of, you know, the five or six songs where they can go and have a game of cards and chill out.
And they can have a break.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not... Because she's just
no
on
break.
Stage the whole time. So it was massive. It was like 2.5 hours. It's very long for a musical.
And did you tour as well with it?
Yes.
We did. We toured first.
Because we were in Bradford at the same time.
Yeah, and I was like, "I'm here. You're here. I've just seen your face." Yes.
Oh. I was in the smaller space.
Hey, there are no small spaces, only
small people.
Smaller
people.
I don't know what the expression is, but
we were there at the same time.
In the same building, in the Alhambra.
Yeah. You know the Alhambra?
I do know the Alhambra. Yeah. Oh, lovely. Oh, that must have been a nice place to do the King and I.
I think it was.
It's big.
How do you find touring? Because we often talk about that experience of, it's never the, it's the shows are always fun, but just the kind of constant travel and then staying in hotels,
logistics.
Some of which are legitimate hotels. Sometimes they are
brothels.
I was going to say brothels.
Oh, you're having that problem as well.
Always.
I checked into a hotel and I was like, there is a mark behind where I can tell the bedposts have hit the wall so much that they've chipped away at the plaster. And I said, I think I would prefer to change rooms if that's possible. But you know when like the
a knocking
lift,
shop.
A knocking shop, as
my dad would say.
Sort of place that
I
think probably people go,
there.
People go to have affairs, that sort of thing. Like where they're not worried about, you know, maybe the carpet isn't as nice as
but
I
not
would prefer.
Affairs that they're trying to make an effort with.
No, absolutely not.
Not someone they're going to leave their husband or wife.
No.
It's a dirty affair.
A filthy affair that they're having in the back streets of Norwich.
Those are the hotels we normally stay.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
If you're going to do it anywhere, do it in Norwich, I always say.
I say, yeah. If you could, yeah, find this hotel.
There's something about
I'll
East Anglia.
Yes, it just gets people going, doesn't it? It's all about the big skies. But that must be exhausting, though, I think.
Well, it is, but in a way, because you can't have the children when you're on tour.
Oh, yeah.
So then you end up actually getting more sleep and you can go to the gym and, you know, have time for yourself, which you don't get when you're in town.
Yeah.
Because you've got to do school pick up and drop off and, you know, deal with
life. Yes, totally removed. Oh,
which is hard because then you don't get to see your kids as much. Yeah. So it's tricky. It is tricky.
And what about with filming? Because you must have to do really long days. Like, what's the block? Because you're starting in 4 weeks.
6 months.
Wow.
But
we have a break for summer.
Oh, right.
Which is a new thing, which is brilliant. So August off.
Right.
We film from April until November.
Do you start with Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah, you must.
Start with Christmas.
Don't worry. Just working out the scheduling.
Yeah, you like to be across.
Just so you know.
I just want to be across the scheduling of... No, not when the shows go out. The filming schedule.
What's the... So when do you do the interior scene? And what? Oh, that. Sorry, go on, Susie.
No, that's
you're
fine.
Itching to ask another question.
No, I can tell.
Look how old you are. Go on, ask. Tell us here.
You do the episodes. Do you do the episodes in order?
Yeah, we do.
And you're not doing like two episodes at once?
We used to. And then post-COVID, we kind of changed the format slightly. So we do 2 weeks per episode, pretty much. Two and a half weeks. But then Christmas, because it's an extended episode, we'll do three to four weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's pretty much a different director for each episode. Okay. Because then they film the episode, then they go into post-production.
Oh, of course they go into the edit.
They go into it in the edit, yeah.
With Jenny Agutter, do they get her to do all the scenes where she has to say, St. Donata's house might be closing?
Do they do those all consecutively?
So that she just gets that out of the way?
There was this rumour that they had like stock looks, like Trixie Sadface, in like a filing cabinet that they could just pull out. But then I've had so many different haircuts, they can't really use
them. Oh, yes, that's how you've beaten the AI menace.
Exactly. Yeah. I had a really good story about Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah.
Please. Have you had this? About her wigs. Really? So you know how she's always wigged for her characters?
Is she?
I didn't realise.
Apparently she's got this wig maker that makes really bad lace around the forehead. So then they're forced to do post-production and to wipe out the lace and the...
Any lines. How clever.
Isn't that clever?
Meryl.
Isn't that so sneaky?
I
don't know if it's true, but I want it to be true.
So if you see her filming, she's actually got this awful, like, fancy dress shop.
Wig on. Like a forced to do post, AI post.
Must do it all in post, frame by frame.
Yeah.
Is that something that happens on Call the Midwife?
Oh, it's in my contract.
In your contract, everything. So. Jenny's the same, insisting.
No, she doesn't need it because she's just like the most flawless.
Is she still like a railway child?
I mean, still. Just gets more beautiful every year.
Oh, what a lovely
She's
thing
stunning.
To say about
it's
her.
It's true.
And she seems lovely.
She does. I mean, she doesn't seem... She is lovely.
She does seem lovely.
No. She's really lovely. And Judy as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. So many great stories as well. Like,
all those actors have got good stories,
yeah.
haven't they?
When they're all sat round chatting about, you know, whoever.
Yeah, yes. do they like a bit of a gossip? Oh, yeah. What do they pretend to read and then just sort of like, well, I'll tell you about so-and-so.
I definitely remember conversations around the table, especially because we had Harriet Walters in for a while.
Love her.
When Miriam Margolyes was in one, you know, they'd all be like, oh, you remember Lawrence who... I'm thinking of your own it's not Laurence Olivier, you know. Just
chatting
about
stories.
Yeah.
Like a bit like that show, There's Nothing Like a Dame.
The best TV.
And this should be a Gogglebox. They've talked about watching that because all of their friends are on that.
Yeah, yes. Right.
And they're like, oh yes, when June said that about this, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like amazing. Yeah.
Well, on the Nothing Like a Dame show, I just got the impression they were all not that fond of Laurence Olivier was the sense I got. They were like, very, very cloaked way, like, well, he was we all were quite nervous around him. He was quite scary, actually, wasn't he? And he's like, yeah, I bet you're right.
Especially back in the day.
Yeah,
when,
terrifying.
You know, you could just do anything.
Awful.
And anybody else.
Yeah, awful.
Oh,
awful.
I love it. Mm. Especially when Maggie Smith's like, oh, we can't get any parts.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, Judy's got her mitts on them.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't come for me.
That's Americans. That's how they talk. We have to get some of the Judy Dench hasn't got her mitts on.
There was a good story about Les Mis as well. When Les Mis was on... still on. I mean, it's been on for years, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And Judy Dench was doing a play with Ben Whishaw next to it. Was it Peter and Alice or Alice and Peter or something?
Yes. Oh, yes.
And she ran out in the interval to do the barracks scene in Les
Mis.
So she like put on like the old rags and like laid on her barracks. So I just spat because I was so excited. And then like...
How
did that
fun.
And then went back on stage for Alice and Peter. How cool is that?
That is cool.
Really, but it's when, I guess, in a long run like that, you would get bored, wouldn't you?
You have to keep it funny.
Mm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Light.
I wonder if Ben Whishaw ran across with her. Maybe he's not. I don't think he would mess around as much.
He's a bit method.
I think he'd be a bit
more.
Would
have had to have done some character work.
He'd probably do a game of Zip Zap Boing or something.
The worst game ever invented. Whenever anyone suggests that. Have you had to play that over the years?
Well, yeah, I went to drama school 100 years ago.
Yeah, we used to.
And,
I was involved in National Youth Theatre, and we used
clang.
To do it there. Clang. All right, no big deal.
Was it you and Sheridan?
Was Sheridan National Youth Theatre?
I think so.
Oh, yeah,
she might have been musical theatre, I think, because she's a singer, isn't she? I'm trying to think if we'd know anybody from that same time. Rebecca Knight. Do you know Rebecca Knight?
No, I know the name.
And do you know. Anyway, so I'm just going down memory lane now for myself. Kirsty Woodward. Do you know Kirsty?
Know the name.
It's a small world.
Well, is it? It's a small world if you're nice.
World for the nice people.
Yeah.
That's something somebody
that's
told me.
That's nice, right?
Do you have that on a tea towel?
Oh, if only.
You need that on a tea
towel. We get through tea towels so quickly because we're constantly washing up. Alfie loves to wash up and iron. He washes up everything. He'd wash up us if we stood still long enough.
Dishwasher? No.
He doesn't like it. He loads it in a very specific way. If I load it, he has to come along and correct it.
I'm terrible. I put the cups the wrong way up.
Oh, it's filled up with water.
They're just filled with dirty soup water. I mean, what am I thinking?
Oh, well, get
she
out
can lay
around.
A table, but she can't.
She can't clear a table.
Not made for clearing.
No, yes. That's I've said that about you, actually, Helen. He loads it. Very specifically.
Oh, so he does use it then?
Oh, yeah, he will use it. But he won't use it if there's like a few things. He'd just rather do that himself. Whereas I think,
Alfie's going to absolutely love how much we've spoken.
He's going to enjoy this.
Has he got gloves, rubber gloves?
My mum bought him gloves for Christmas.
Yes.
And he bought me, or did we buy him? I can't remember, but a Dishmatic. Mm. You know, those things that's like, it's a sponge on a handle, and the handle's filled with washing up liquid. So it secretes washing up liquid into the sponge.
That was a Christmas present.
Yes, we have a very joyful, festive time.
Wonderful.
Wild, absolutely
You're
wild
absolutely
in our
wild.
House.
Yeah. I love it. I was going to say, Ben Whishaw came to one of my stand-up shows.
Did he? Yeah. That's cool.
Was he just taking a break from Judi Dench?
Yeah, so yes. Was it during Alison Pill?
I'll show you. You want to keep sodding off to Les Mis? I'm going to go and see a stand-up. Yeah. Really?
Okay. Well, yeah, and I didn't see him. The only reason I know is that one of the ushers from the Soho Theatre, I was in the basement downstairs, knocked on the door afterwards. And I was like, yes, what is it? They went, you're not going to believe this. Paddington was in.
Not Paddington.
And I said, what do you mean? Oh, what's his name? The guy that's Paddington. I was like, Ben Whishaw. Like, yeah, Ben Whishaw was in. Which is
oh my
very
God,
exciting.
That's so cool.
Yeah, very exciting.
And thank goodness that usher didn't speak to him and crush his ego by going, you're the guy.
Yeah,
you're
the guy.
Paddington.
Hey,
you must get recognised a lot. Because, I mean, Call the Midwives, it's absolutely massive, isn't it? I mean, it's like, when you look at like ratings that television gets these days, like Call the Midwife is millions and millions. Like people...
It does all right. Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It does. I think because I don't have blonde hair anymore, because my hair was always the same as Trix's before until my hair was just such a mess from, I was like a bleached chicken.
Yeah.
There was no hair left. You know, it was ridiculous. I was like Orville. So I had to do something about it. So I dyed my hair brown to make it healthier. So now like it, you know, I don't get recognized, which is
smart.
Nice sometimes. But then people hear my voice.
And then they go,
and then they're like,
you?
No, you're not. I'm like, no, I'm not.
I got it.
Oh, do you pretend you're not?
No, sometimes I do. You know, if I'm like mid-argument with my children or something, yeah, I'm like, no, wrong person, not me.
They're like, oh no, Trixie was much nicer than that.
The toilets are over there. I got it in Brighton. Did I tell you about this in Brighton the other day? Someone came up to me and went, I know your face. Who are you?
Oh God,
and I was standing outside the station waiting to meet my friend. And then of course, I then was like, I'm a stand-up comedian. I started listing off some of the things they might know me from. But I'm sort of standing basically at a bus stop, and to anybody around,
you're doing
walking
your
past,
CV.
It looks like I'm just gone up to some stranger, gone like, you know me from you might know me from The Apprentice. You're Fired, Cooking with the Stars. And I just thought, oh, and I said to my friend, I know that bloke's face, and then the friend went, oh, I've never heard of you, and I was like, oh.
It's
Thanks.
The worst when they do that. Or people will say things like, oh, you're so much smaller in real life.
I get that sometimes.
You're so much thinner in real life. You look so much younger in real life.
Nice. Yeah, but Trixie probably wouldn't respond in the way that
Helen would.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
You wanker.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, now, Helen, our time together draws to a close. I suppose this would be the moment when I would have given the flowers and the candle.
That would have made a lot more sense. Yeah, Tom.
I just got so overexcited.
You got excited, but that's okay. We're all just people trying our best.
But it put me in such a good mood.
Well, there you go.
Well, you were.
And I love them. Thank you so much. And thank
you
for having me on.
Well, listen, we're such huge fans of you and of the show, and just so thrilled that you found the time to come and speak to us. People are going to lose their goddamn minds.
People are going to be so thrilled. So thank you very much.
I'm sorry about
sworn a lot. I'm so sorry.
No, we fucking loved it.
We fucking loved it.
Fuck yes.
Fuck yes. Call the fucking midwife. wouldn't call it that, of course.
People must have said that once upon a time.
They must have done. Yeah, especially in the East End.
Just call the midwife.
Yeah. I'm surprised there isn't Cockney rhyming slang for midwife.
They're probably, we should find out.
Oh,
probably,
yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
Trouble
baby
and Strife.
Baby Catcher or what?
Oh, yeah. Or there'd be something like that. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we'll be like Baby Catcher.
Baby Catcher. Do you ever worry about that when they got the very small babies? Because sometimes you watch it and you go, that's a freshie. That's a really small baby.
Yeah.
And they look.
Well, sometimes they're like, they're at school.
That's when the forceps come out.
But they do look slippery. They're like slippery little buggers.
Yeah, because they're covered in oil, so that they look like they're covered in stuff. So you do have to handle with care. But luckily, rubber gloves kind of stick on the oil. So it's quite useful. So then they're like,
oh my goodness. Yeah.
Because that must be, it's quite a decision, isn't it, for a parent to go, yeah, I don't mind taking my baby.
Rebirth my child.
Yeah. Can you imagine if we had a child? We'd be straight down to Chatham Docks with
me
it.
Me and you. I think we're going to be very surprised if me and you had a child.
We would be passing the baby over the fence.
Hello, we're looking for an agent. They're 4 days old.
You want to have our baby? Yeah, it must be interesting, though, to do that. I guess people
must love it.
And also you can tell when filming is maybe overran, not actually on Call the Midwife, but on other shows where there's a baby, that they're just holding a bit of a towel in their arms because they run out of time with the baby.
You're not allowed the baby anymore.
We've got the prosthetic baby.
Yeah. Shh, that's right. You're very low in iron. That sort of thing seems to happen a lot in Call the Midwife, doesn't it? Low in iron.
People are low in iron.
Yeah. Well, they would be, I guess, because of the diets not being...
ideal.
But they're probably better, arguably, than some of our
diets. What I was thinking as well. Yeah. Like after the war, people had a lot of grow your own vegetables.
Yeah, that's true. Like you, Tom, you're growing your own.
Well, I barely.
What have you grown?
Well, in the past, I've managed to grow, beetroot, actually, I was quite pleased
that's
with.
That's very good heritage.
They looked lovely, actually. They were sort of different colours as you sliced through them.
So fancy.
Lovely. Just something to do, isn't it? Mm. Runner beans, we seem to be able to grow plentiful.
Great.
But quite boring. Quite boring, actually.
Useful.
But useful.
Yeah.
Potatoes, yeah. I think, is a lovely thing to grow. Do you grow a lot of vegetables, Helen?
I haven't done for a while. I did used to, and I've thought about getting back into it. I haven't done yet, but, you know, I will.
You should invite Helen around to the garden.
Oh, you're very welcome. If ever you're in Bromley, Helen, we'd love to.
Only when I'm on my period, though.
Yes, of course, we've got everything you need.
Thanks.
If they cut out the earlier bit, that will sound very strange.
Right, I think they're going to kick us out of the studio.
Sorry.
Inevitably, talking to Helen George, we've overran.
Of course we have. Okay.
What a fabulous time we've had, Susie.
Gosh.
We are
I'm
so
still
grateful.
Getting over it.
We will never get over this. We'll never be the same.
We'll never be the same again. Okay, we'll speak to you next week. Okay, then, bye.
All right, everyone.
Bye.
Helen George, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And to our dear like-minded friends, we'll speak to you next week. Okay, bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.